Welcome to episode 13 of Connect the Dots. I am Jeremiah Garcia from Guide Dogs of Hawaii. This is a safe space for blind and visually impaired individuals to come together, share experiences, and learn from each other. Today, we will do a deep exploration of hobbies as a blind and visually impaired individual. There are so many benefits that can be gained from having a hobby. Imagine doing something you have interest in and discovering how your participation promotes your psychological wellness. Or try and envision how a hobby can prepare you for work. Having a hobby is also a great way to build friendships. To reap all these benefits, let's learn about the different types and values of hobbies and some tricks and tips on how to make them accessible. For this podcast, we will categorize hobbies into four types: creative hobbies, social hobbies, physical hobbies, and learning hobbies. It has been said that to live a healthy and well-balanced life, we should have at least one hobby from each of these categories. When you think about it, you may already have a hobby in one of these categories, which is a great start. Let's explore each type. Creative hobbies include things like drawing, painting, pottery, and writing. These hobbies improve brain function, enable emotional expression, and let you feel a sense of accomplishment. Social hobbies are activities that include others like friends and family, spending time together, making new memories, and strengthening relationships. To aim for a well-rounded and balanced life, social hobbies such as board games, hiking, beach day, and even volunteering are notable for combining socialization and doing something with a common interest. Physical hobbies include things like hiking, walking, biking, and dancing. Our bodies need to move to stay in good physical shape, so low or high impact exercise is essential. Learning hobbies will help expand the mind and knowledge base. This hobby is especially good for all ages. Such hobbies may include reading, watching documentaries, gardening, or learning a new language or culture. Let's give some thought to what we enjoy doing and see what category your hobby falls under.
I think music has just been one of my biggest hobbies, and that's been helpful in a couple of different ways. And one, it helps to give me a retreat from things, to just sit back and let go of everything. Like if I'm in my car, I just blast whatever music I feel like listening to, whether it be sad, happy, or rave music, whatever. It kind of just gives you a release from life. It also gives me an outlet to express things that I don't find easy to express through words. Sometimes music just gives you that, whether it be instrumental or EDM or lyrical or anything. And it also actually gave me a passion, something to work for. It's basically part of my degree, part of my career. All of that just spawned from this hobby, this little thing that I enjoyed doing, and all of a sudden now it's basically my entire life.
Pursuing a creative hobby is a great way to invest in yourself. Give yourself permission to take a break from all of your responsibilities and relax doing a craft activity. For example, you may discover a break will lead to a rich, well-balanced life. A creative hobby helps you to relax because it engages another part of your brain. It provides an opportunity for you to physically and mentally recharge. A recharged mind sparks new ways of thinking. It also gives you something to look forward to outside of your daily responsibilities and allows you to let go of stress. Some creative activities that GDH offers are designing and making jewelry pieces, functional acrylic items, and tie-dyeing. If you have a creative hobby, invite someone else to do it with you and take it a step further. You can always add socializing to it.
15 years, maybe more, no more than 20 years ago, I learned how to make jewelry. There used to be a Native American store in Kaimuki called Native Winds, and being that I am part Cherokee Indian, wanting to learn more, about my heritage, etc., and visiting the store, I would see all these lovely beadwork that they would do and that they would have for sale. Some of the beadwork are too intricate for me to do, or you need sight for doing a lot of the imagine a picture done all in beads. So you can have a picture about, you know, anywhere from 1 inch by 1 inch, or you can have a super big picture, you know, 4 inch by 4 inch, et cetera, and in detail. But beadwork like that was too intricate, and you need vision to work with something like that. So I chose, you know, I was looking at the necklaces, the bracelets, like, oh, wow, these look pretty interesting and, like, easy to make. So the lady at the store, Wendy, taught me how to make necklaces, bracelets, and then my Native American friends through the years, they taught me how to make what we call choker. Choker is a four-rolled necklace you wear around your neck tight. Back in the old days, the choker was our form of armor to protect your neck from a knife stroke, from a spear, from a, you know, any weapon damaging your throat area, etc. So I learned how to make chokers. And a lot of my beads that I use, like for the chokers, you have four rows horizontally, usually using glass beads. And we have what we call long hair pipes, which are anywhere from 1 inch to 4 inch. But I like to use, you know, certain sizes, depend who am I making it for. If I'm making it for me, if I'm making it for someone, or if I'm making it to sell, you know, I try to keep it all, you know, uniformed. And how I keep all my beads, I keep them all in fishing trays. So let's say one tray has six slots going across. From the left to the right, there's red, blue, yellow, green, black, et cetera, so on and so on. I memorize where all my beads are, and I like to do my bead work usually at night with the lights off and, you know, with the TV on or whatnot. So I'm doing bead work actually in the dark. And the way I do my designs is I'll take one bead from the first rack on the left and one bead from the third rack inside. So I'll be alternating whatever pattern design I want to make, etc. And when I tell people that I do this during the nighttime with no lights on, and of course I'm visually impaired, right? And they're like, wow, there's no miscolor matches in the beads. Everything just all uniform how you have it. Because when I go through the beadwork, it's like I was taught, you know, you put a part of yourself into your work. So when you have it for yourself, or you give it away, or you sell it, et cetera, you know, it's a part of you. And a lot of people love my, you know, my chokers. I make chokers, I make bracelets, I make necklaces, I make earrings. And then when I tell them the story of, oh, my beads are like these, you know, they're all set up in trays, and I just grab from this slot, et cetera, and alternate.
Social hobbies are activities that bring members of the community together to interact. It could be anything like going to the movies or a carnival, dancing, cleaning the beaches, collecting aluminum cans, and so on. We have learned in school that we humans are a social species. We rely on cooperation to survive and thrive. We find ourselves more comfortable when we are connected, sharing strong emotions and stories. It is important that humans socialize. Socialization is especially important for the blind and visually impaired. An individual who lacks socialization may encounter isolation and difficulties with relationships and employment as an adult. People of all ages can benefit from this type of activity. Participating in social activities will improve social skills, academic performance, enhance your self-esteem, promote a positive attitude, establish a connection with peers, and you'll make new friends. It will also help to reduce the risk of illness, such as Alzheimer's and dementia. There are many social activities available in the community. Some social activities offered by GDH include monthly bingo, group games, cafe hour, guide dog group, women's book group, and more. What are some social activities you have participated in, and how accessible were they? When I was 11 years old, I started to learn breakdancing, which I enjoyed doing with friends that I made at school. You might be wondering how I was able to manage, considering all the flips and tricks that go along with breakdancing. I will admit that it was a bit scary at first, but all I needed was my friends to teach me how. A lot of things that we would consider impossible by ourselves can oftentimes be possible with a bit of help and a bit of courage to take the first step. You'll never know if you can or can't do something until you give it a shot. After learning the movements, I discovered that I enjoy breakdancing. It was a lot of fun to do with friends, and now even alone.
The other thing, too, here at Guide Dogs of Hawaii, I have had the privilege of being a facilitator for those of us who are guide dog handlers. And what is so great about this group is that we share our opinions about what we need to do with our dogs, how we go about working with our dogs, how we appreciate our dogs, and how we can perhaps better become guide dog handlers so that our dogs will get to know our commands better. And we, in turn, with others' opinions, we can learn from them as to how we should go about maybe pointing things to our dogs, what works and what doesn't work so well. So it's all the different schools are involved, and you know that all the schools are doing their best to train these dogs so that these dogs can help us. And so it's really wonderful to be able to share our thoughts with other guide dog handlers whose dogs are from other guide dog schools. And in the end, we are all happy campers. We love our dogs. Our dogs are our partners and our soulmates, and we respect each other even more with this. I always like to say that I have been a guide dog handler for now 22 years. I've been really blessed with three wonderful guide dogs, and they're all three of them are yellow Labrador retrievers, and all three of my dogs are from Guide Dogs for the Blind in San Rafael, California, and these dogs are really my soulmate, and I always am so thankful for these guides for what they have helped me to do in my life. And I thought that my life was fulfilled before, but today it's even more fulfilled. And I like to say that these dogs are the next best thing to having my sight back.
The World Health Organization defines physical activity as any bodily movement produced by skeletal muscles that requires energy expenditure. Physical activity refers to all movement, including during leisure time, for transport to get to and from places, or as part of a person's work, both moderate and vigorous intensity. Regular physical activity is proven to help prevent and manage non-communicable diseases such as heart disease, strokes, diabetes, and several cancers. It also helps prevent hypertension, it helps maintain healthy body weight, and can improve things like mental health, quality of life, and well-being. Let's go over to the recommended physical activity schedule for different age groups to give us an idea of whether we are doing enough. If you are between 5 to 17 years old, you should do at least an average of 60 minutes every day of moderate to vigorous intensity. It is recommended that you incorporate vigorous intensity aerobic activities, as well as those that strengthen muscle and bone. For adults age 18 to 64 years old, it is recommended that you do at least 2.5 to 5 hours of moderate intensity aerobic physical activities. It is also recommended that you do muscle strengthening activities at moderate or greater intensity that involve all major muscle groups on 2 or more days of the week, because these provide additional health benefits. If you are 65 years and above, you should be doing the same level of activity as the aforementioned and incorporate varied multi-component physical activity that emphasizes functional balance and strength training at moderate or greater intensity to enhance functional capacity and to prevent falls. Now, let's think about how much time we currently do physical activity and see if we should dedicate more time to physical activity. Remember, physical activity is the movement of skeletal muscles. So, consider all physical activities you do, whether it be low or high impact activities. Some physical activities offered by GDH are cardio drumming, hiking, swimming, yoga, and outdoor sports. If you're not interested in any of these physical activities, consider taking walks. Walking with a family member or friend doesn't cost you anything but time. Spend the time walking for a healthier life. Now, most people would assume that if someone is visually impaired, they would probably want to stay away from any form of mixed martial arts, right? Simply because they wouldn't be able to see the attacks that are coming towards them. But I started training when I was around 7 or 8 years old, and as I grew up, my vision got to a point where things I enjoyed, like kickboxing, became difficult for me to do because it's just so reliant on eyesight. I still enjoyed mixed martial arts though, and I didn't want to give it up that easily. That's when I found Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, a martial arts style that isn't reliant on striking an opponent, similar to like judo or wrestling. It took a while to learn, but the main point is that despite my vision loss, I was able to continue practicing martial arts, even though there were people telling me that I should probably stop or it's too dangerous because of my visual impairment.
I like cardio drumming. Cardio drumming is a fun exercise. Well, first of all, I like drumming. So you're just thinking you're drumming, but actually you're moving your, you know, you're moving your whole body at the same time. Oh, and you got to stand up too. I mean, you could sit, but I think you get a better feel if you're standing.
Many of you may not realize that you have a learning hobby. Let's pause for a bit here and think about what learning is. Learning is the process of collecting knowledge, wisdom, skills, and understanding. For example, do you have a hobby collecting sports cards, coins, or stamps? You studied every card, coin, or stamp you collected and learned something about it. What you learned increased your knowledge, and through your study and learning, you develop the skills to identify key elements of your collection, all of which gives you an understanding. You go through the same learning process if you enjoy autobiographies and documentaries. How about needlepoint or writing? Research for these is helpful to achieve the end result you want. Both require skills that you develop over time, and it becomes a topic you will understand well. A lifelong learner is likely to be healthy in all aspects, creatively, socially, physically, and emotionally. Lifelong learners find new friends who share interests and boost emotion through accomplishments. Some learning activities offered by GDH include stories about events in history, documentary movies, a tech tutor group that is facilitated by Ezra, and culture exploration. Do you have a learning hobby?
Being a member of the Young at Heart group has broadened my horizons on the various books that we are asked to read. Not too long ago, we had a book that was about Queen Liliuokalani, and I learned so much more about who this woman was and what her background was and the whole history of Hawaii as we know it today. And you just get a better insight that you never had when somebody says, okay, we'd like for you to read this book. It's a book that I would never have chosen, but because this was one of our books to read, I read it and I thought, well, I'd like to read more about this. So it broadens your horizon being involved in this Young at Heart book club. I think that setting a time to join this book club each day of the month, the time of the day, it gives us an opportunity to really know that we have to be responsible during our daily lives, and it gives us an opportunity to participate not only to discipline ourselves in doing so, but also we show others that we care, that we want to be with them, and to share our thoughts and let everyone know that even though we have differences of opinion, you know, we need to really respect that part. But I enjoy setting aside that time. I have it in my calendar, and it makes me want to organize my life in such a way that it disciplines me on a monthly, weekly, or how many appointments I have during that month. So it's a good way to discipline yourself. And you get out of the house, you meet with other people, you share camaraderie, and are able to learn more.
My favorite thing about studying history, or, you know, in my instance, specifically Hawaiian history, is that not only are we able to, you know, be, you know, knowledgeable about past events and historical events, which only makes us more credible in the end, but also it allows us to kind of look at, you know, the choices and, I don't want to say, you know, mistakes, but the choices and decisions that people make, and, you know, how it affects even the simplest being or the simplest person at the bottom of the totem pole, you know. It kind of allows us to learn from history and hopefully not repeat history.
As you can see, GDH offers activities that support each type of hobby we covered today. Activity supplies are free, and you get the opportunity to improve the quality of your life while socializing with others. If you have a hobby you want to share with others and don't have the space to do it, contact GDH and we will definitely see how we can help. We are always looking for new ideas, so if you have any, I invite you to share it with us. Together, let's create ways for a healthy and well-balanced life for all of us. As we draw to a close with this episode, I want to thank you for joining me and hope you found useful information. We welcome your feedback at connectthedots@guidedogsofhawaii.org. It would be great if you would visit us on our social media platforms, such as Instagram and Facebook. You could find us by simply searching for Guide Dogs of Hawaii. Many thanks to the following individuals for contributing their personal experiences to this podcast: Eric, Guywa De La Cruz, Charmaine Burchard, Vicky Kennedy, and Aloha Karate.
We will now leave you with an Olalono Eo, or a Hawaiian proverb. We encourage you to reflect on this saying and see how it can be applied to your life. Today's Olalono Eo is Kulia I Kanu'u, strive for the summit. Or in other words, be the best person you can be.
Thank you for joining me today. Until next time, take care. Episode hosted and written by Jeremiah Garcia, with help from Leanne Lujan. Music by Ezra White. Edited and published by Primo Mateo. This podcast is supported by Guide Dogs of Hawaii, a nonprofit organization serving the blind and visually impaired of Hawaii.